Hello and welcome along to the Tap Tuts Punters Power Podcast. I'm not sure the version, but it's an old Fleetwood Mac classic, that one, TC.
Oh, I thought we'd start with that, Shorty. It might be disappointed to a tip later on in the show.
Yes, indeed. I see what you've done there with a bit of lightning and thunder in the scene. Who's the artist there that's a newbie?
Joel and Petch.
Okay. I do like the original, but that's a little more upbeat, a little more racy, that one, to bring us in this week. Speaking of racing, you can race off punters and source the Punters Power Podcast now on a stack of different platforms. It's available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your good podcasts and the bad ones from. Just subscribe to a Punters Power Podcast, and you can source this each and every week. Big thanks to Christian and Michael Goggins for putting us across these different platforms, TC.
Just a quick one on that, Shorty. If you do give it a follow or subscribe, the terminology escapes me for the moment, on the Apple Podcast, it does alert you as to when the podcast goes up. So roughly around a Friday lunchtime when the podcast is available, you'll get a little notification on the phone if you are Apple Podcast subscriber.
Excellent. Never a need to miss this wonderful podcast ever again heading forward. Lucky you, hey, TC. Looking forward to a big weekend. Let's go back to what we've learned over the last 7 days. Look, the Waffle Grand Final last weekend. My boys, South Fremantle, gee, they were really tough. They stuck it to Subiaco, but all credit goes to Subi. They've been an absolute powerhouse of the Waffle competition over the last couple of decades, and they were too good on the day for the doggies. So congratulations to Subiaco. Waffle Premiership winners again in 2021.
I've learned, Shorty, this week, Tom Brady. I know the term Father Time catches up with everyone in sport, but I'm not sure when Father Time's going to catch up to Tom Brady. He may have a 50th birthday while he's playing in the NFL, but age hasn't stopped him. Certainly went in there for the first time as an opposition player to Foxborough to play the New England Patriots. And once again, what he's done over the last 20-plus years in the NFL is find a way to win. He did exactly that with a little bit of help from the crossbar, but they still got the points, went in there, got the win, and left. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers continue on their way.
They do indeed. What are we looking forward to for this week? Well, for me, the Group 1 racing on the menu tomorrow, both in Sydney and Melbourne. But, well, we talked about at the start of the spring, TC, what we saw up there in Queensland through the winter. Zaki, for me, was a Roll Gold champion of the Caper, and it's transferred that to the spring. And he's been absolutely dominant in taking out the Tramway and also the Underwood, and he'll be similar tomorrow, taking out the Might and Power. I think he'll be doing exactly the same in the Cox Plate. He is a mighty, mighty galloper. He's taken all before him, and this should be another very comfortable win for this galloper tomorrow there. He's starting to scare them off too, very similar to what we saw with Winx in her prime. Some of these big features end up being small fields. That's the case tomorrow. Just five opponents fronting up to have a crack at Zaki tomorrow in the Group 1 Might and Power.
Question without notice and something you may not have even given any thought to, Shorty, but the 1,000 Guineas has been on this day for a few years now moved to the Wednesday. Do we like that? Does it matter?
I'm not against trying to give some of the midweek meetings through spring a little bit more impetus. So I'm not against it. Look, this meeting stacks up incredibly well on its own, whether there's 1,000 guineas there or not. I'm heavily involved in this 10 race card. There's some outstanding racing. There's already a stack of top liners going around. So I'm not really probably going to miss that race tomorrow, and yet it'll give me something to look forward to on the Wednesday.
I tend to agree with that. We get the Blue Sapphire as well. So two features on that Caulfield card on Wednesday. Something to look forward to. But more immediately, Saturday, we're back at Ascot. And in particular, the three-year-old classic takes centre stage. And boy, it's been somewhat of a little bit of a tough race to do the form on a lot of differing form lines. And the three-year-olds over the 1,000 metres, they'll go helter-skelter. We'll talk about the race in a little bit more depth very shortly, but looking forward to seeing some of these good two-year-olds and then these early season three-year-olds that are coming through maybe lesser form lines, all meeting up and just trying to sort out the pecking order as we head into the summer carnival.
Indeed. Looking forward to analysing those races when we get back from a break. Welcome back to the Tab Tides Punters Pal podcast. David Short and Taylor Courtland with you. Let's get out there to Ascot tomorrow. Racing returns to headquarters for the summer and looking forward to this 10 race card. Feature, as TC alluded to, race number 9. It's a Crown Perth 3-year-old classic and the punters have not mucked around here. They've stepped straight into the Cerise and White TC. Arcadia Grace went up at $3.70. Crunch into $2.75. Spin the Knife, $4.40 to $3.90 has been popular on the second line. Pat's Got Sass, easy to back, $5.50 out to $8.50. Ruthless Tycoon, $11 into $9.50. Flying Missile, $15 into $10. Snipperucci's been $9 out to $11. Ponyo, $21 to $18. Liwa, $14 to $21. Hoyan, $16 to $23. Desert Vixen, $21 to $31. Pixie Chicks, $41 to $34. Heavenly Waters, $34 to $61. And He's Gold, $61 out to $81. Arcadia Grace, this daughter of Hinchinbrook, we've only seen her on the one racetrack occasion. That was at Northam. There were some nervous moments, but when the door eventually opened, that acceleration was clear for all to see. And from what the betting figures are showing here, plenty of punters thinking that that acceleration will be on show for all to see again tomorrow.
And I think that's the important point, Shorty, that acceleration. If you watch that replay, fast forward to about the 200-metre mark when she did see that gap up along the fence and she put that field away, albeit a Northern Maiden field. She put that away in about three bounds with 53.5 on her back. I think that's the key in this race. She has the best turn of foot from what I've seen of these runners. And in a 1,000-metre race where I think they're going to run along at a pretty good tempo, I think that turn of foot's going to set her up beautifully. Gate number 5 won't necessarily be stalking the speed, but won't be too far away. She has shown an ability to leave the gates quite cleanly. So I think she'll be within striking distance if they can make ground 5, 6, 7 horses off the fence. I think that's the lane she'll be in. She'll be hitting the line hard and extremely difficult to hold out. And 275, maybe touching a little bit rock bottom odds at the moment, but I think she's a good bet. Race 9, number 13, Arcadia Grace. But plenty of horses here returning, and also Spin the Knife, who's been racing very well. I'm excited to see.
Indeed. Look, it's a quality lineup, though. We've got some of the 3-year-olds that have been there and done it, and some of them at really big odds. Spin the Knife, most impressive in his career to date, winning 3 of 5 for Luke Fernie. Of course, deeper down the list, there's some horses that are very, very well credentialed at massive odds. Hoyan at $23. I know the barrier's not ideal here, but we saw Hoyan take out the WA size and the Gym Crack, was placed in the supremacy. 6 career starts, 3 wins, 2 placings. Resumes from a break here, and she's a very talented filly. She's a little disrespected, I think, in the marketplace at that sort of price, 23 and 5, 25. Probably definitely be including it. I tend to agree, Arcadia Grace, with that devastating sort of burst of speed, if it's able to posse up somewhere near them, you can just see her absolutely extending out and doing really good things late. You're right, price-wise, giving away a little bit of experience to a lot of these runners. So whether or not that comes into play or not, I guess time will tell. It's going to be excellent to see these 3-year-olds back up and firing, and this will be the first of many battles we'll see between some of these really talented youngsters over the next couple of seasons. Other races of note throughout the course of the afternoon, TC, where else are you having a bet locally?
I think we're teaming up in race number 4, Shorty. I think we both like the chances of number 2, Mr. Delegator, who's racing in really good form. If we go back 3 starts ago, was second in a 60-plus behind Brave Dream. That was on a soft track, and then was also beaten by the same horse once again in the same grade 2 starts ago. Stepped up to the 72-plus, so got a little bit of weight relief and got the beautiful run over the 1,600 metres last start, and won with some authority. It was really strong late. Now, 3 weeks between runs, perfect. Stays at the mile, but drops in grade. So it does need to carry 59.5 kilos, but a big son of Machino, nice big strong galloper, will be rolling out in front, I'm predicting, with Sean McGrady in the saddle, a good front running rider, and should be able to kick away on the corner there at Ascot on a day where I don't think it'll be any disadvantage whatsoever to be up near the speed, settling in the first 4 in running. And I think Mr. Delegator He's quite progressive. He can go on with it once again in 66-plus grade. Certainly race 4, number 2, and we're getting around 3.30 at the moment. I think they're nice odds.
Yeah, I agree. I think Mr. Delegator will take all the beating here. This mile's absolute sweet spot for the horse. 7 tries this trip, 4 wins, 2 placings. Comes in confident off a win in that 72-plus last time out. Informed jockey aboard in Shooter McGruddy. Nice draw, barrier 2. Gets all the ticks for me. I think it'll take a power of beating Mr. Delegator. Who else are you liking?
Race 6, number 6, a returning Cerise and White Galloper in Pure Devotion from gate number 4. We'll be getting a beautiful run in a race where I think they'll go along at a nice tempo, big screen. A winner of his last two. We know what he likes to do, runner long out in front. And the Roy Rogers trained Galloper at the top of your race book, Big Bada Boom, does a similar thing. So I think there's enough tempo. First up, 1,400 metres. Looks perfect for Pure Devotion, who contested the 1,000 guineas. The Natasha, the WA Oaks, running second in that event over the 2,400 metres last prep, has trialled impressively back there on the 20th of September. Was third untested on that occasion. It was very stylish. Now up to the 1,400 metres with that soft run, hopefully, on what on paper looks a nice day for William Pike. Well, every day looks a nice day for William Pike on paper, to be fair. Race 6, number 6, Pure Devotion. We're almost getting each way odds, which I think that's pretty good. 460 and 190 at the moment as we look at it. Race 7. Now, Graceful Girl, excited to see the return of Graceful Girl, but $2.05 I'm looking at with Tab Touch at the moment. I thought that was on the very skinny side. And a horse that is racing in particularly good form is Mystical View for Sue Olive. This mare, first up, was narrowly beaten by Spin the Knife, a winner at 66-plus grade over the 1,200 metres at Belmont, and then somewhat thrown in the deep end in the Birthday Stakes. So run fourth on that occasion, was beaten less than 3 lengths by Unitime, who's placed in a Railway Stakes. So now dropping back to 66-plus grade over the 1,200 from gate number 2, maybe 3 back the fence somewhere there. If CJP gets any luck at the top of the straight, I think an each-way price about Mystical Viewer, mare in form, who's racing very well, I think represents good value. Race 7, number 5, to go with Arcadia Grace as well. So just in recap, race 4, number 2, Mr. Delegator. Race 6, number 6, Pure Devotion. Race 7, number 5, Mystical View, and at race 9, number 13, Arcadia Grace.
Oh, I've just got the one other bet to go with Mr. Delegator. That's in. It's a real favourite of mine too, this fellow, Captain Chaos, race 5, number 4. Gee, I've been impressed with what the horse has been able to do this preparation. Took out the 60-plus, then went up to the 66-plus, and then up to a 72-plus. Has been able to get the job done on each occasion. The most recent win I thought was really quite arrogant, just rolled back and just saved up. And Chris Parnham wheeled out Captain Chaos to the outside, made the run, and really did it in comfortable fashion. He's got a huge engine. Like what I've heard from Mickey Grantham this morning, he's given the horse 3 weeks. He said, it kills me to sit there and watch him sitting in the paddock for 3 weeks. But it's what was right to do, and he's up there and ready to roll. Respect for the favourite, Kiss on All Four Cheeks. She's a very talented mare. We know that. She's a real talent in her own right. We saw her take out the WA Breeders going back a couple of starts ago. She'll take some stopping, but I just love the turn of foot that Captain Chaos can show in its races. Draws barrier 3 here. Look, Karajini Aurora's racing back in peak of powers at the moment and gets the services of William Pike. It's not to be left out of the conversation. Bad Wolf's been racing particularly well of late. Likewise, Excellent Dream is another that's capable on his day of producing. But for me, the captain, he's got the X factor. I think he's headed for the top. I love the horse. I think the 290 available's really nice. He's won me a stack all 3 runs back from a break. I'm sticking fat with the captain tomorrow. So just the 2 plays for me. Race 4, number 2, Mr. Delegator. Race 5 at number 4 in Captain Chaos. 3.30 into that $2.90 quote. We're getting just under $10, worth a little win and place all up for me. That'll be my play tomorrow here locally at Ascot. Let's get across to Caulfield. Unbelievable day of racing here. And again, we've got that bumper 10-race program factored into things here. Plenty of opportunities. Watch out for the quaddy carryover races, 7, 8, 9 and 10 punters. $250,000 carrying over. That pool expected to be more than $3 million. Plus this weekend, Tab Touch account holders, races 1, 2, 3, 4 and 5, Caulfield, Randwick and Ascot. Additional super picks. Do your early form and see if you can't get your Saturday off to a flyer with those additional super picks. You can boost the odds on the horses that you think will get the chocks, or indeed take that insurance factor. And if the horses run second, you get your money back. It's a great deal from Tab Touch this Saturday. Let's get into what is an amazing day of racing, TC. I'll go through my best bets on the program, and most of them are in the features deeper in the card, so we can touch on them as we get through. First, the bet is early in the day. It's the listed big screen company Weekend Hustler over the 1,400 metres. And he's been a favourite of ours here on the Punters Pal podcast, Buffalo River. Resumed from a break in the Rupert Clark. That was a tough, tough race. On that occasion, I thought the performance was good. Beaten less than four lengths behind Sierra Sue. This horse has got an excellent second up card. Five starts, two wins, three placings. This distance loves it. 11 starts, five wins, four seconds and a third. He's 10 of 11 over the trip, $3.30 and $1.40. I think Buffalo River is clearly the class runner in this particular event and will take a power of beating. I think the $3.30 is okay. I'm taking him in all up places for the day as well, around that $1.40 range. I don't think it'll be missing a hole. Race 2, number 2, Buffalo River. Then heading down to race 5. This is another really interesting race on the car. The Group 2 Scalacci Stakes over the 1,100 metres. September run, Bella Nipotina, Sava to Excel, Dosh, all nice horses. But I've sort of drilled down a little bit deeper into the list here for my on-topper. Horse that's drawn well, Isaurian for Damien Oliver and James Cummings. Now a seven-year-old, he's a horse that generally comes out and races particularly well fresh. He's had seven starts first up for five wins and a placing. He loves this distance where he's had five starts for three wins and a placing. And I would expect that he is a horse that can really measure up here. Generally runs out of his skin nice and fresh. I think the odds available are excellent. 8 the win and 240 the place. Don't have to have too much on to find out whether he's ready to roll fresh again, TC. But 5 out of 7 fresh, 3 out of 5 over the trip, over the duration. If you've stuck with Isaurian fresh in the past, you're miles in front. I'm one of those people, and I'm sticking with him tomorrow at the good prices. Race 5, number 3, Isaurian. We then head down to race number 6. And, well, this is the Zaki Might and Power benefit race, isn't it? Group 1 over the 2,000 metres. To all intents and purposes, he's going to have to go well below what he's been going, and the rest are going to have to go well below, well above what they've been going for them to get near him. He's been different gravy all three runs, all two runs back from a break. He's won his last five straight. He's on track to basically turn the Cox Plate into a demolition job. I love the way that he's going. Love everything I'm hearing from Annabelle Neesham in regards to how he's tracking. And, yeah, he's really pitchforked in there. I think he'll be rolling these over for fun. So $1.26 in from $1.30. He's a one-outer in the – if you want to have an early quaddie, he's going to make it into a few of my multis. I won't take him in all of them because that's not a price that's overly appealing, TC, but it'll fatten up a couple of my multis this weekend and give me an interest in the race. Probabile on the second line, 650. Holmesman, 12. 18 for nonconformist, 41 no effort. And Nickajack Cave at $61. But for me, Zaki winning and winning that well. We then head down to race 9, number 11. I'm Thunderstruck. Well, this for me is the one of the bets of the weekend. If you missed last run, don't go back and put yourself through it, because it was absolutely putrid viewing. Looked to be absolutely bolting in the run. A big check at the 300 metre mark, and I thought, well, from there you probably struggle to pick yourself up. You're entitled to tail off. No. I'm Thunderstruck. Balanced up again, got going from a mile off them, was beaten 0.6 of a length. That was in the Rupert Clark at Group 1 level. He's lightly raced. He's got enormous upside, this fellow, and what he has got is one of the most exciting finishing bursts I've seen in recent years. It is dazzling. Can't wait to see I'm Thunderstruck. I think it'll take a power of beating. One of the best bets anywhere in Australia this weekend. Race 9, number 11 at the $2.60. And in the last race, TC, I thought this was a great Quinella. 7 Floating Artist and 5 Delphi. Both of these horses, former European gallopers, and both of these horses we know have settled in and are up and firing, and that's really important to see. These staying style races, when these European gallopers get here, generally they've got a class edge on a lot of our locals. It's just a matter of whether they settle in. Well, Floating Artist has won 3 on the bounce over 16, 17 and 18 and is very well suited with the step up to 2400 metres. And Delphi, off that runner-up performance last time out in the Naturalism behind Nonconformist, beaten a narrow margin, I would expect to be right there. I think those two will clear out, to be honest, a great Quinella to round out the day. Numbers 5 and 7 in race number 10. I know that you've got a few thoughts in a couple of those races on the way through, as well as in the feature race number 8, the Group 1 Caulfield Guineas over the mile, where Animo's 265, Artorias $4.11 and upwards from the rest. Is it a two-horse race, the Caulfield Guineas?
I think so, Shorty, albeit the two favourites, Animo and Artorias, are going to need a fair bit of luck from their draws. We know Artorias likes to sort of get back worse than midfield in races, so gate number 2 may work against him in that instance. And then Damien Oliver's going to need to pull a rabbit out of the hat from barrier number 15 on Animo. As we look at the barrier draw at the moment, that is, if we get to race number 8 at Caulfield and, you know, 6 winners have come down the middle of the track on the day, maybe barrier number 15 turns into a little bit of a blessing if you can find a trail 3 wide with cover somewhere in the race. So I like Animo as a horse. I'm going to stick with him there on Saturday in the Caulfield Guineas race 8, number 1, 260, hoping to get a little bit better than that closer to race time and leave for all the riding up to Damien Oliver, and that finding of luck somewhere, finding of cover, get a nice run. I think he's the best horse. I'm going to back that in. I think that it's the strongest form line. The Golden Rose was very good on a day. It was difficult to make ground down the middle of the track at Rose Hill. Still was able to run in the Congo to within a neck, was hitting the line hard up to 1600 metres. No worries whatsoever. It was an impressive first up winner. Difficult for me to look past Animo there at Caulfield in the Caulfield Guineas, and maybe talk. He goes onto a Cox Plate post Saturday, so hopefully that is the case, and looking forward to that. Not much else to add in terms of a Caulfield card. I'm Thunderstruck, one of the better bets on the day as well. For mine, you've covered off on that beautifully, and Delphi improving out to 2400 metres. Big massive tick there for the Anthony and Sam Friedman trained galloper. I will just also add, with those extra super picks, Shorty, if anyone missed the Hour of Power on Tab Radio, John O'Shea was a special guest and gave an almighty push for race 4, number 4, Robodera, at 850 and 275. If you like to use one of your extra boosts or money back run second place boosts there. He was very bullish coming out of that Sydney form line of the T-Rose. Rule of line through that most recent run was beaten over 7 lengths, but caught in a part of the track it was nearly impossible to win from. So rule of line through that. Prior was second in the Furious, was a pimple behind Jamaya, who then went on to the Golden Rose. So that form line looks strong, drops back to the 1,200 metres, and we talk about it a fair bit, Shorty. That Sydney form dropping down to Melbourne during the spring carnival is typically quite strong. So race 4, number 4, Robodera, a strong push from John O'Shea from the Hour of Power on the Sports Daily Friday.
Excellent. And he's not the sort of fellow to generally come and be over the top either, to be fair. Listening to him over the years, he's generally quite measured and low-key. So far, for him to be bullish is certainly worth listening to. Race 4, number 4, Robodera, at the right price, 2850 and 275. Race 4 there at Caulfield. In recap, I'm going with race 2, number 2, Buffalo River. Race 5, number 3, Isaurian. Race 6, number 2, Zaki. Race 9, number 11, I'm Thunderstruck. Race 10, that 5, 7, Quinella. And TC with race 8, number 1, Animo. Race 9, number 11, I'm Thunderstruck. Race 10, number 5, in Delphi. Group 1 racing as well in Sydney Town tomorrow at Randwick. And another excellent day of galloping action. The feature, the Group 1 Mowat and Shandon Spring Champion Stakes over the 2,000 metres TC. And here, from a betting perspective, it's Profondo 310 to 330. Head of State 460 to 380 has been popular. Never been kissed 5 to 480. Allegron 850 and firm. Benno 10 out to 12. Inverell 26 to 20. Baloo, this is a horse that is certainly worth including in the mix at a big price. There's been money around for it as well, 26 into $20. The Queenslander, French Emperor, 26 to 23. Raging Bull, 41 to 34. Satirical Glory, 41 to 34. Patton, 51 to 61. And Clyde's been 126 into $101, a scratching at 12. Chill. Really interesting affair for the three-year-olds here. TC, are you on Profondo or have you found something to beat the fave?
I'm with Profondo, but I'll also throw an asterisk in the mix. That man again, John O'Shea, if you do go back and listen to the Hour of Power, he said there was a little bit of a hint of excitement in his voice. And then Digby Beecham, our good friend, asked him, John, you seem to have a big opinion of this horse. And he said, I've been training for a long time, and I think this might be the first time I've ever had a runner at career start number three in a Group One. That highlights the opinion we have of this horse. And then he went on to say that we, post the Spring Champion, we might just get him a look at Moonee Valley for a race in mind next year.
Mm. Benno.
So that's somewhat of a push as well. So $12.350, I certainly will not be leaving number four in your race book, Benno, stable name Richie, out of any exotics, multiples, place, multis, etc. If that does come off that push, clearly a horse with some talent. But so is Profondo at the top of the market at $330. Career start number two in the gloaming last start over the 1,800 metres was running around. I'm not sure what he was looking for, but I don't think he found it last start. Didn't want to go straight. That race experience up to the 2,000 metres. Third up this campaign, should be absolutely ready to peak. And tricky gate, gate number 10, but I think we'll be able to find his feet. Robbie Dolan riding well. Natural improvement, I think, awfully hard to beat. Race 8, number 2, Profondo, who I believe was bought for almost $2 million at the yearling sale. So,
indeed.
Very, very expensive colt.
Looking to get some of the purchase price back there tomorrow in the Group 1 Mowat and Shandon Spring Champion Stakes. It's really, at different times, these three-year-old races, I've just tread a little warily because they're at an age where, you know, two- and three-year-old racing, there can be sharp improvements from horses from sort of campaign to campaign, and be really interesting to just see who comes back and who's in the zone for the spring right now. But certainly Profondo, we saw there, is back up and firing and ready to run another race there. The punters are not minding. It's around that 330 range, but everything you've said there in relation to Benno, Take On Track, Baloo's one worth including. I'll be throwing a few into my quaddie tomorrow there at Randwick in that particular leg. For me, I've come up with three plays at Randwick. Race 6, number 1, Amaralina is the first of them. Has to overcome the draw here in Barrier 13. Star New Zealander just didn't go to plan last time out there in the Richie Beaton. Just under three lengths in the end behind a tissue. Wasn't terrible by any means, but numerically not looking great. 8 of 9, but wasn't a million miles off them. Worth noting, though, that overall outstanding record. 9 career starts, 5 wins, 2 seconds. Second up in the past, 1 for 1. I would expect that Amaralina can bounce back tomorrow and be really hard to beat. I think the 420 is a decent quote. Race 6, number 1. Then going to race 7, number 6 in Ellsberg. Returned from a break in impressive fashion in a benchmark 88. Caught wide early, and yeah, I thought it was a good performance. Likely to lead or sit up there on top of the speed and make his own luck from there. I think he really should be right up there in the mix. He's a nice horse that's yet to run a bad race in his life. So each way odds about a horse that's finished top 3, 9 out of his 10 career starts. You're getting 225 a place. Looks okay to my eyeball. And rounding it out in the lucky last, race 10, number 3 on the lead. J-Mac takes the ride. There'll be plenty of punters aboard him cheering hard in the last here at Randwick. Draws nicely in Barrier 3. Second up from a break there at Gosford behind Bellucci Bay. Beaten tick under half a length. Loves racing at this trip where he's won 2 out of 3. I think J-Mac can send the punters home a winner in the last at Randwick. So for me, Randwick race 6, number 1, Amaralinia. Race 7, number 6, Ellsberg. And race 10, number 3, on the lead. Great chasing as well this weekend locally. We've got the Group 3 Mandurah Cup final tonight there at Mandurah. And on Saturday night, the distance potential, the star 490 metre campaigner in Corderaro comes up with his favourite draw in box number 1 in the Group 3 feature tonight down there at Mandurah. He's had 7 starts from box 1 TC for 6 wins and a placing. He absolutely loves having the cherry on his back. And overall, what about this for a record over the distance? 34 starts, 21 wins with a further 9 placings. He's only missed top 3, 4 out of 34. He's absolutely dominated down there over that distance for a significant period of time. So good luck to everyone with a runner there tonight. But I think it'd be justice if he would go on to win the biggest race of the year, given his dominance over the last 12 months at that track and trip.
Just quickly, Shorty, just quickly to go back to Randwick, I will throw in race 4, number 2 as well, Coast Watch. We spoke about the form around the Golden Rose being strong enough to win a Caulfield Guinea. So dropping back to the Group 2 Stan Fox Stakes, Coast Watch from Gate 3. The combination of Chris Waller and James McDonald looks awfully hard to beat. $1.90 at the moment, and we'll feature in one of the multis, certainly not the rough one, later on in the show.
Welcome back to the Tab Touch Punters Pal podcast. Well, we're in the in-between phase when it comes to winter into summer sports TC. We had the Waffle Grand Final last week, NRL Grand Final last week. Well done to the Panthers too, taking out the NRL Grand Final.
Good game to watch too, though.
Was a great game, tough. Yeah, absolutely. I thought the Rabbits stuck in particularly well. Defensively, they were really, really tight and really, really tough. But in the end, Penrith sneaking home by 2 points in what was a thriller. It was a great NRL Grand Final. Really enjoyed it. And so we've got a bit of cricket going on over in the IPL. The T20 World Cup is still a little bit off. I'm not liking what it looks like for the Aussies as a warm-up to that particular tournament, though. While all the Indians are playing in the IPL in those conditions, and a lot of the West Indians, the Aussies, we've got Glenn Maxwell playing, we've got Josh Hazlewood playing. Warner's not getting a game for his side. Smith's not getting a game for his side. Basically, the rest of them are over here trying to prepare in Aussie conditions, which are very different to what they're going to face when they arrive over there. So I think it'd be a monumental performance if the Aussies were able to have much of an impact in that particular tournament. But two things worth noting going in when these markets do open up, and they are sporadic as to when they do open up, so just keep an eye on them. But Glenn Maxwell and Mitch Marsh will be the two guys I'll focusing in on very strongly from a batting and runs perspective, because Maxie's over there right now. He could probably argue he's as going as well as any batsman in the IPL over the last fortnight. And Mitch, prior to coming back home to play with WA, was our shining light. He was the only one making runs in our last tour across to those conditions in that sort of neck of the world. So you know that they both handle the conditions, and you know they're both in good form. So when those markets open up, I'll be gravitating to those two to get a few bucks out of it. The NBL is a little bit off. The A-League's a little bit off. And yeah, the Big Bash is a little way off as well. So not a lot there at the moment. Of course, there's internationals happening from the world of soccer this weekend. So if you like that, get involved with there's plenty of same game multis available now with Tab Touch, whatever the sport is that you're looking to get involved with, TC. But the one sport that does stick out like a beacon at the moment that we're both really keeping a very close eye on is the NFL. And another big weekend lies ahead of us. Have you got a multi for us?
Certainly do, Shorty. The Green Bay Packers were the only team out of the three that we jumped aboard last week to do the right thing by. So I think they can go into Cincinnati and get the job done again once that offense with Aaron Rodgers at the helm just continues to pull up points. No reason to think they'll stop this weekend. So just head-to-head, the Green Bay Packers into the Las Vegas Raiders. They ran into the Chargers last week. Now get a home game against the Chicago Bears. They've got a rookie as their starting quarterback. It's all a little bit of a mess in Chicago at the moment while they find their feet behind rookie Justin Fields. So I think at home, we've seen that Las Vegas stadium just... It's
light
more of a
up.
Nightclub.
Oh, my God.
Goodness
what a,
gracious.
That's one for us to take the Punters Pal podcast to at some point, TC. I would have thought we'll do it on a weekend where Calvin Harris is on the decks in town. We'll tee up a game there for the NFL and see if we can't take the Punters Pal podcast on the road.
By the looks of things, we'll need to record that pre-game, though. Once the game starts, there's a fair bit of activity you could get involved in there at the stadium. But it looks a very difficult stadium for opposition sides to go in and leave with a victory. So I thought the $1.40 about the Raiders was quite a good price. So multi the Packers and the Raiders, just to win head-to-head, you get $2.34 at the moment. Not one of the games I've got a great grip on, but certainly one to sit down and watch. 20 minutes past 8 Monday morning. Oh. Your side that you've jumped aboard in the last couple of years, Shorty. The Bills. They go to Arrowhead Stadium to take on the Chiefs. I'm surprised that line's not up near 60 because the Chiefs can't be stopped. They had the ball 7 times last week, scored a touchdown on 6 occasions, and they can't stop anyone. They just get scored against.
It's just a free running.
Up and down the field, high scoring affair. Great to watch. If I was to be forced into a bet, I'd be playing the overs in that game. If you're looking for a bet after 30 races at Melbourne, Sydney and Perth on Saturday, and by Monday morning you still don't have your fix, the overs in the Bills-Chiefs games, but I'll certainly recommend sitting down and watching it. It'll be awfully entertaining.
Oh, I can't wait and to see Josh Allen. This is a great opportunity for this star young quarterback to really strut his stuff against Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. It's going to be a mouth-watering contest. Kansas City, they're still not going to their very best just at the minute. I tell you what, if they're not switched on defensively, Buffalo can score and score heavy on you. They won 40-0 last week, it must be said. So their defense held up really well, but they're finding a way to score themselves up the other end. So should be a beauty. Very much looking forward to that. That's in the sweet spot. Monday morning, 8:20 TC. That's, of course, I work weekends, so Monday morning being my day off. Kids back to school, off you go, boys, and hello. Feet up on the dashboard. And
hot chocolate.
Away we go.
Toast.
Oh, it'll be lovely. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. It'll be an absolute beauty. Monday morning, Buffalo taking on Kansas City. As the weeks go on, we'll fill up and talk a little more sport. But as we touched on a little bit light on this weekend, good luck if you're having a play in the NFL. Welcome back to the Tap Touch Punters Pal podcast. David Short and Taylor Courtland with you. This is our final segment for this week, the Lock and Rough multi-segment TC. Let's get into the lock. So this week, I thought that there were two real locks that I find it very difficult to see a world where Zaki won't win and I'm Thunderstruck won't finish top three. So they're both on their own, probably too trim to sort of take as options in that regard. So I'll just put them both in, to be honest, and I'll be very disappointed if both options don't arrive. I think I'm Thunderstruck a win, so a placing would probably be disappointing, but it'd be enough to get us over the line for our lock multi, and that's Zaki at the 124, and then deeper into it, race 9, number 11, I'm Thunderstruck to be running a place at the $1.36 there. What about your good self?
Heading to Randwick in race number 4, the 2 Coast Watch at around that $1.90 currently. That Golden Rose form, I believe, will stand up, so he comes out of that, drops in grade, should be hard to beat.
Excellent. There we have it. The thoughts of the team for this week. $3.30, the lock multi. Race 6, number 2, Zaki, race to win. Race 9, number 11, I'm Thunderstruck to place. And Sydney, race 4, number 2, Coast Watch to win. $3.30 this weekend. Into the rough multi, I'm heading to the horse with the fresh form that's won 5 of 7, and we're getting $8 about it. Happy enough to stick with race 5, number 3, Isaurian, tomorrow there at Caulfield, and we'll hand over all responsibility from this point to the great man Damien Oliver in the saddle, draws barrier 2. Excellent. You know, 3 out of 5, the distance, 5 out of 7, fresh. All those reasons that we went through earlier on in the program. 8, the win, 2.40, the place. Yes, please. Go Isaurian, race 5, number 3.
Ascot, first day back, race 7 at number 5, Mystical View at around $6.50 roughly at the moment. I think it's one of the better each-way bets at Ascot there on Saturday.
Love it. So we've got Melbourne race 5, number 3, into Perth race 7, number 5, $52 for the win and $5.16 if they can both run a place this weekend. Well worth a couple of shekels, and hopefully we can get the old Hail Mary home at this upcoming weekend. TC, how's the weekend shaping up out there to Ascot potentially for a look tomorrow?
Yeah, a couple of scheduling issues with a few of the boys there that have decided to go elsewhere on opening day, which is somewhat staggering.
That's disappointing.
Oh, disappointing. That's a nice way of putting it, Shorty. No, I think I'll be out there at some stage, if it's all day or just drop in just to get the ambiance back of Ascot. We'll work that out.
Have you got it in you to go out there and say, I'm just hanging around for a couple of races? Oh, personally, if when I'm going to the races, it's either chips in or I'm not going.
You have to put the head down and dive into the form guide just so you don't lock eyes with someone you know who's at the bar who then buys a beer, and then you have to ring the wife and say, oh, look, I've unfortunately left the car here. I need a lift.
I tell you what. Yeah, it's messy. Let's get ahead of the game and just... There's no need to play games. Let's be honest. If you're
just
going
go out there,
well, okay. If you're thinking I might go out now for a couple of races, like no. Once you get there,
stupid.
Especially opening day, run into a couple of mates. Oh, yeah, I've just got the cash in that last race, mate. Well, I'll get you a drink before you know it. There's 3 or 4 pints in. What are the wheels doing here? Like, that was irresponsible in the first instance. There was no way I was ever going to be able to drive that home. So let's just get ahead of the game.
They locked that members' car park too, so it's tough to get it out the next day.
I'll tell you what. How about you get the bride to just drop you off trackside and tell her I'll get an Uber home, so you just make yourself comfortable at home, Dales. Watch a bit of your favourite reality TV. I'll be back in a little bit later on. If we have a decent day, I might even bring home a little bit of Chinese with me. Ah, see, we've been there before. We've been there before, great man. And if we haven't, well, I'll see what's in the closet, and maybe tin spaghetti might get a run. But hopefully, it's you know, favourite Chinese restaurant on the way home. Pick that up, and it's never been so good. There we have it. Another episode of the Tab Touch Punters Pal podcast. Believe it or not, punters, we've got through another one. Looking forward to a huge weekend. Good luck to you all on the punt. Be sure to gamble responsibly, as always. But a reminder, if you're looking to get involved, as TC touched on at the start of the program, don't be shy. Get involved. We have got this now across all platforms. You can head to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all other quality podcasting broadcasters to subscribe. Just search for the Punters Pal podcast, get around it, and then all the notifications will land each and every week to let you know when we're up and firing. Many winners to you all. Have a ripper weekend. We'll catch you all again this time next week.